And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Clint Arcus.
And we are counting down the stories because our friend Brian Keller is on a... I think he got deported this time following on his Visual Studio 2012 tour.
Yeah, I think he got kicked out of a couple countries as well. I mean, God, that guy knows how to party.
He really does. So I'll be back in a couple weeks. In the meantime, let's get right into our top story, which is cool content. This is migrating apps from Windows Phone to Windows 8, and this is walking through an example of using the Khan Academy app.
Yes.
So for people that are familiar with the Windows Phone Khan Academy app that was written by Joel Martinez, we've actually been working with Joel and our friend Rick Barraza, and Brian Peake did some parts as well, or Giovanni's friend as I like to call him. Actually built the viewer for Khan Academy, yep, which is now in the Windows 8 store. So the idea is, how do you take a Windows Phone app to Windows Store? And they did a five-part series, slicing and dicing all the different parts.
Yep.
So definitely cool stuff and things for you, the viewer, to watch. Which brings us to our next story, which is SQL Server data tools updated. So we've seen a bunch of things update as Visual Studio 2012 came out. Everybody's starting to use different, as they start to use tools, they have different dependencies on tools. So for example, if you're using the SQL Server data tools, which is different from SQL Management Studio, yeah, which just allows you direct access, and people do like that, but some people like the integration within Visual Studio. You couldn't do it in 2012 until this new release. And they have fixed a number of bugs, and it actually works with the new Power Tools for SQL Server that have been released as well for the SQL Server data tool. So definitely some fun stuff to play
cool
with. So, and also brings us to DirectX graphics development with Visual Studio 2012.
So this is they're talking, the Visual Studio C++ team talks about how to do DirectX graphics development in Visual Studio 2012. I mean, you can use it with both Express SKUs for Windows 8. That means the Windows Store application SKU along with the desktop SKU. Some of the power tools aren't actually included in those Express ones, and they talk about which ones aren't.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have an MSDN subscription, you can download Visual Studio Pro and get those as well. They point out a bunch of resources, you know, like, hey, you want to learn how to do like stereoscopic direct 3D stuff. They have samples for that, along with how to like compile HLSL files, et cetera, et cetera.
High-level shader language.
Yes.
Just to throw out acronyms.
Look at me.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
So all that stuff is in this blog post. So if you like DirectX, check it out. If you don't know DirectX, still check it out. And maybe it will help you learn some of that crazy stuff that you can do there.
Cool. All right, so next story. This is a cool tool on Visual Studio, Context Menu.
Yes, so if you've ever, you know, right-clicked on something in your Desktop Explorer, you get a context-specific context menu. So this now builds it into Visual Studio. So if you have a file in your Solution Explorer, you right-click on it, boom, you get what you'd expect. So it just makes it a lot easier between the desktop and Visual Studio.
Yeah, and it looks like it has some customizability, right? So like left for compare, 7-zip, as you can see in the image there. Any other cool ones that you saw?
I mean, to me, this is just basically what that person has installed.
Oh, okay, so it's actually using the Windows?
I believe so.
Oh, that's even cooler.
So it's like because you have Git, you have SVN, you have 7-zip. I'm assuming if you have WinRAR, it would pop up there as well.
Oh, that's okay. All right, I get it. So it's not it's the official one, if you will.
I believe so. That is my my final answer.
All right. So next story, jQuery code snippets updated for Visual Studio 2012. So these were originally developed by John Sheehan at jQuery snippets codeflex.com. But there's a number of these, and they have all kinds of good stuff in them.
Yes.
So, like, the ability to find all DOM elements and remove them. The ability to slide something in, slide something out. Searching for stuff. Just interacting with anything within jQuery. For those of you who may not know even the syntax, download these code snippets because they have a lot of really cool examples.
And it could be also you don't know the proper syntax or best way to do something, so the synths probably could help you out there as well.
Yeah, I love this. So, Next story is Game Salad Creator supports Windows 8. Now, Game Salad, for people who don't know, is a way to build games, and it looks very Popfly-ish, to be honest.
I was gonna crack a Popfly joke.
Yes, yes, for those who are familiar with Popfly. But the idea is you have a series of items, and you are building some, say, a board, and dragging things on there. Everything is visual. You're not necessarily writing code and so on. So the point is you'll actually be able to export these games to Windows 8. So people that are interested, they do have a free version as well. So you can see how to build game salad apps.
Yeah, cool.
Very cool. Next one. So Epic Designs, what are these?
Yeah, so if you want to build out a Metro, a Windows Store application, the best way, you know, I highly suggest looking at other applications that have done it and take some inspiration. And
this design has, inspiration.
Yeah, design inspiration.
Sure.
So check out, like, they have 50 really nice, well thought out designs. Mm-hmm. Just look at it, see what works best, and then, you know, take the base templates and then work and do iterations to help build out your application, because they may do something that you may not have thought of. And you'd be like, oh, that would really work well in my application. And then you can, you know, tweak it and adjust it so then it works in your
I just always like seeing, like, different screens. So it's like, oh, that's a really nice way to do it or something else.
And sometimes they could be doing something where, like, I never even thought of that. And that's where, like, I just like looking at it.
Especially for semantic zoom. Instead of just having a list of categories, you could imagine something totally different for semantic zoom. So, there's definitely a lot of cool stuff. Cool. Next story. This is a kind of fun one. So it's a tool built called ILPad, and the idea here is you, if for whatever reason you need to look at IL code, and maybe there will come a time when you do, you can actually have. If you look at the screenshot here, the top area is for your code. So you type in your code, you add references on the right side if you need. It'll compile that code, and it actually includes the source code for how this is built. And you can actually see the IL code that's built from that and generated from that. So this is pretty cool. Anytime you need to be able to do ILPad, it's like, here's my C-sharp's method. Let me see what's actually going to be spit out.
Yeah, it's interesting yet scary at the same time. Like, flashbacks of assembly code in college come to mind.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, not registers. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Exactly. And that brings us to introduction to consuming Azure mobile services from iOS service. So we've actually talked about this series from Bruno a little bit earlier, but for folks who are building iOS applications that want to consume data from Azure mobile services, remember Azure mobile services is a way for you to be able to have applications, you know, whatever device they happen to be on, and connect them to the cloud.
Yep.
So, and one of the nice things is, especially if you're building an application like we've seen Wordament, for example, where it's actually cross-device, where I want to be able to have people and have one repository for data. Or if you know, I sign in, it knows whatever device I'm using. So whether that's a Windows app or iOS or whatever, so my profile data kind of passes in between then. All the benefits there, and this is really about connecting stuff with iOS.
Okay.
So lots of benefits for folks there.
Awesome.
So, which brings us to our picks of the week.
Okay, so my pick of the week is...
And you are not Mark.
I am not Mark.
You are Clint.
So my pick of the week is a bit old. It is actually doing event processing with RX. Now, Charles Torrey is going to love the fact that I picked this.
Okay.
Bart did, to me, one of the coolest demos where he used event processing with RX to do, like, detect with connect your hand going from the left side to the right side of the screen. Now, me and you both know that's a ton of code to do it the old school, like, event-driven. You know, for every 30 frames a second, you get that data, and then you got to parse it and maintain state. And he did it in, I think, like 4 lines of code using RX, and it blew my mind. And I'm like, that is awesome. And then he did a bunch of cool stuff. It was like the first time where I grasped like how the power of RX and what you could do with it when the amount of stuff it just abstracted away.
Cool.
Watch the video.
And my pick of the week is David Katu, and I hope I'm getting his name right, programming with the Kinect for Windows SDK. So David, of course, a friend of the show, and always got some cool stuff going on. And for people that are always looking for a resource for Kinect for Windows, David has some things for gesture detection and processing, yes, as well, which really make it a lot easier for people that are building applications that are, say, doing gestures and so on to be able to use it. So
yes,
lots of cool stuff.
Cool.
And thanks for Clint for stopping by.
No problem.
Thanks.